You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church, or for additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
So, over the last few weeks, Raphael has been walking us through the Bible and showing us how over and over that God is with us. He started with Genesis and Eden, which was the first dwelling place of God with man, and showed how much God was with us and his people. How God walks through the garden with his people habitually and routinely. It was so much so that Adam and Eve knew the sound. And you could tell this because when they sinned and they heard the sound, that's when they hid. So we can see in Genesis how God is a God who dwells with his people. And then Raphael showed in the prophets how God was with us, his people, through the prophets. How regardless of the successes or his failures of his people, that God continually was with his people. And over he sent them and he renewed his promises and he sent them because God is a God who dwells among us. And over we saw how God is a God who dwells among us. And over we saw how God is a God who dwells among us. So I hope that you saw over these last few weeks how when God makes a promise that he's going to be with us, he comes through on his promise. I had a commander who he would hammer into the leadership of the unit to follow through. Don't say something that you can't come through on. And when it comes time to come through, you better follow through. Because over his career, he had seen how bad leadership, they would make commitments that they couldn't keep, or they never planned on keeping them to begin with. He had this phrase, the video better match the audio. That what you said better match how you behave. So I hope over these last few weeks you got to see how God's video matches his audio. Now, over and over again, he tells us that he's going to be with us, and over again, he fulfills that promise. So when he says, I will be with you, it's going to happen. So we saw in the past how God was with his people over and over in Eden and with the prophets. What about today? And what about tomorrow? And the day after that and to the end of days? I hope to show you this morning that God has promised he's going to be with us. And hopefully you will have confidence in that fact. Matthew 28:18, Jesus says to his disciples, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always, to the end of the age. Now, if this phrase sounds familiar, it's because it is. If you're familiar with your Bibles, this is something that God has said over and over to his people. In the Garden of Eden, in Genesis 1:28, God says, be fruitful and multiply. Now, this phrase is typically associated with procreation, but if we look at the Bible as a whole, we can see that it's clearly more than that. God desires his whole earth to be filled with his people, with his worshiping image bearers. And then he repeats a similar phrase to Noah in Genesis 9:1. It says, God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So again, fill the earth, multiply with my people. And then to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, God repeats this phrase. To Abram in Genesis 12:3, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Again, the whole earth. To Isaac in Genesis 26:3 through 4, stay in this land as an alien, and I will be with you and bless you. For I will give all these lands to you and your offspring, and I will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky. I will give your offspring all these lands, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring. Again, the whole earth. To Jacob, Genesis 35:10 through 11, God said to him, your name is Jacob. You will no longer be named Jacob, but your name will be Israel. So he named him Israel, and God said to him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. Over and over we see that God not only is with his people, but he has a mission for his people. Because God is a missional God. He pursues us, and he wants us to pursue others. He wants us to be on mission for others. He wants us to fill the earth with image-bearing worshipers of him. So when we turn to Matthew 28, we can see the similarities of what Jesus is commanding, which is for his people to multiply and fill the earth by making disciples. I don't know about you, but when I read this phrase, when I read Matthew 28, and I think about how Adam failed, and Abraham failed, and Noah failed, and Isaac and Jacob, and all the quote-unquote heroes of the Bible failed. And we are given the same mission. It's terrifying. How am I going to fill this mission if men like that failed in so many ways? The answer is that God's going to be with us. That God isn't going to let his mission fail. And that over and over, God promises to his people that he is going to be with us. In John 14:16, it says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. And this word counselor that we have with us today, it's where we get the word paraclete. And this word has multiple definitions. In one sense, it's a legal term. A person called to help. A person summoned to give assistance. It has a sense of a helper in court. It's also translated advocate. Another definition is emotional support, the role of comforting or consoling somebody. And paraclete can also take the form of a helper. And while it's natural to want a this or that simplistic definition of this word, I'd like to argue with you this morning that when it comes to God the Holy Spirit, He is all of these things to us. Because God is with us forever as our advocate. Again, this legal sense, it applies because in the Bible there are many court analogies. There are many court scenes. There's even more legal language that is used in the Bible. And this is where we get the term justification. Probably the most notable is Micah 6. If you're not familiar with Micah 6, it's where God puts Israelites on trial. And He puts the whole of creation in the juror's box, and He lists off all the charges against His people. Can you imagine how terrifying that would be? To be sitting in that defendant seat and hearing all the wrongs that you've ever done your whole life, line by line. That'd be terrifying. The fact is, there will be a day when we'll be judged. Acts 17:31 says, He has set a day when He is going to judge the world in righteousness. So when we look at the mission God has given us, His people, now time and time again, we failed. Imagining being in that defendant seat, again, is terrifying. And if you think you might be not guilty, if you can go through the Ten Commandments and somehow you're okay, read Matthew 5. In the Sermon on the Mount, which I know many people adore, but in reality it's very condemning. It's where Jesus tells the Israelites and the Pharisees, you haven't murdered somebody. Good job. Were you angry at him? Guilty. So you haven't cheated on your wife or husband? High five. Have you thought about it? Guilty. The fact is, if we're honest, we're all guilty. And when we sit in that judgment seat, when we sit in that defendant seat on the last day before our righteous King, we know what our verdict is going to be. Unless we have an advocate. 1 John 2, 1-2 says, My little children, I am writing you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He Himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also the whole world. When we sit in that seat, we don't have to fear. Because we have an advocate before the Father. And we may have a list of sins, but His grace is more. And on that day, we can rejoice in our Savior because He has overcome all our sins. And what a day that will be. But I hope you notice also in that 1 John passage, it says the whole world. Again, God is a missional God, and he has called us to be on mission. God is also with us forever as our comforter. As we embark on this mission to make disciples in all the world, God knows we are going to encounter trials. James 1 says, when you experience trials, they are going to happen. Page through Voice of the Martyr. Read through some history books, church history books. Talk to your church leadership. Trials will happen. My wife and I are foster parents, and it's something that we feel that we're called to do. We believe that God has called us to care for orphans. And it's been hard. Not only emotionally navigating, adjusting to new kids in our home and the dynamics between the new kids and our kids, and trying to understand that this is a safe place and that they're loved, and being hit, being bit, being slapped, just flat out rejecting you. It's hard. And I'll be honest with you, there have been times that I just wanted to give up. It would be so much easier if we just didn't. But then I turn to 2 Corinthians 1, and I see how God says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in our affliction. In Psalm 147:3, he says, he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. I'm able to turn to God and be comforted in my trials. And then I can from there turn back to my family and then comfort them. I can continue the mission that God has set before us because he's comforted me. Because God is our comforter. But God is also with us forever as our helper. And this is the other form of comforter. Where the one we just talked about was more after a battle, this is more before the battle. It's an encourager. It's a courage builder. It's knowing that the enemy may have a 50 cal, but you're going in there with a tank. And you know the outcome of the battle before you even start. And you know that whatever may come, with God, you can overcome. And this is the same form that we see in our benediction, Romans 15:5. May the God of endurance and encouragement. This is our God. With him by your side, you can take whatever comes. And you can continue to pursue the mission. Because he is your helper. You know, sometimes I feel like Christianity is like a Billy Mays infomercial. And like every time I think I figured something out, he just turns around, but wait, there's more. And a couple weeks ago, I preached to you on Titus and how Paul encourages Titus, and he, hold on to the two epiphanies of Christ. Hold on to the cross and his second coming, and you'll be able to endure this present age. And this verse in John 14:16 kind of pokes a hole in that in my sermon, because not only is can you hold on to those two epiphanies of Christ, I use the analogy of a kid holding mom and dad's hand and just having all the confidence in the world, but he also comes along and carries us. He's holding us. He's consoling us. Even at the end of the day, if you've stumbled, which you will, you have an advocate before the throne. So you can have confidence as you go forth to fulfill God's mission to us, to make disciples of all the earth. You can go out with confidence, knowing that whatever may come, you're going to be comforted, you're going to be encouraged, and you're going to have an advocate. I know this can be scary, and I can promise you two things as you pursue this mission, as we pursue this mission as a church. That's going to be difficult, and God is with you. And if you're like me, though, it's easy to forget these things sometimes. But that's why God gave us communion. In 1 Corinthians 11, it tells us, on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Does it seem a bit strange proclaiming Jesus' death? I mean, and there's a lot of reasons that we should be proclaiming his death, but today I'd like for you to focus on one aspect. That as sure as you can be that Jesus is in heaven, you can be equally as sure that the Holy Spirit is with you. That you have this advocate, you have this comforter, you have this helper. So as we, before we come to the table, I'd encourage you to sit and reflect on what may be barriers between you and pursuing this mission. And come to the table knowing full well that God is with you and we are with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you grateful more than for what you've done, but who you are. Because what you do flows out of who you are. You are a God who relentlessly loves us, continually pursues us, never gives up on us. Help us to have that same heart for others. Help us to have the same confidence to go out and fulfill your mission. Have the confidence in you and who you are in us, knowing that regardless of what may come, your mission will not fail. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for using us and giving us this mission and making us your people. Lord, help us to be faithful in that. Help us to not be focused on roadblocks, but see that you can overcome all things. And your word will not return to you void. And if you say you will be with us at the end of the day, there will be no barrier too big for you. It's in your holy name that we praise, your holy name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We hope God meets you where you are and doesn't leave you, but changes you through the work of His Son. For additional information, please visit citychurchpa.org.